Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi everyone, it's David here, and just to let you know about our live show in London. If you're down south or fancy a wee trip to the Big Smoke, then come and see us as we host our live show at the Leicester Square Theatre on the 21st of March. And you might not be too keen to see us, but I'm sure you'll be keen to see our special guest, Paul Gascoigne. He's coming here, Gaz, I really have some of his amazing moments at his time at the Gers. So if you want tickets, go to the Leicester Square Theatre website. Just Google Leicester Square Theatre at Gaza, and up it will pop. So Thursday, 21st of March, it's an international break. There's nothing else happening. We hope to see you there. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Hello everyone, and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. My name is David Edgar, and I am delighted to be your host this week, as always, because it is our monthly look at how Rangers are doing, and I'm joined by two absolute internet stars. First of all, from Four Lads Had a Dream, it's Stevie Clifford.
Hello everyone, I hope you are well. David, great to be here again with you and CJ.
And as you might have guessed, funnily enough, by what Stevie said there, also joining us is CJ Novo. Hello, Siege.
Hello, lads. How's things?
Well, I'm not going to lie. A bit up and down this weekend, yeah. I think, is probably...
An interesting weekend, isn't it?
An interesting weekend. We've been talking about, as Rangers fans, and I'm pretty sure that lot have as well, we've been going on about, well, there'll be twists and turns, right? That's the twists and turns. That's the phrase. Everybody's saying twists and turns, right? It's like a night after dropping two pills and going to the garage. It's going to be a lot of that. But I don't think in our mind we were quite prepared for when it was going to happen. And of course, it does tend to happen almost when you least expect it. CJ, I thought that this weekend would be two fairly standard, fairly straightforward and fairly boring wins for the Old Firm clubs. And of course, it turned out to be nothing like that. But this is... strap yourselves in. This is what it's going to be like now for the next nine games.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like an old-fashioned title race, isn't it? This is like the first one, like proper one where it's ducking and weaving. It's when you're feeling good and then you get your countered. And I don't think anyone saw. If you looked at your week, and I said this in one of my own videos recently as well, you looked at it, you've got Hearts at that point at Ibrox, who were flying, most informed team in Scotland, with Shankland, who was the most informed striker. You could maybe see something happening there. Blew them away. From the first whistle to the last, never got near us. Couldn't touch us. Going to Rugby Park, a place historically we struggle at all the time. Really poor record there. We come away, comeback victory after a BS penalty. Can I just say that, by the way? Can I get that out of the way? And then we go into the lesser of the three games. A team that we've not been beat in the top flight since 1997. And that's the team we lose. No wonder I've got grey hair. No wonder
I've got none. Stevie, CJ touches on a very interesting point there, so let's just address that straight away. Was there an element, Rangers, of people speak about Bottle whenever you lose a match at this stage of the season, and I understand why, but for me it's not Bottle, because if it's Bottle, they lose at Kilmarnock. They don't come back in that match against Kilmarnock. For me, it's a case of we had these two huge matches, which we were all looking at. Hearts in form, as CJ says, right? The in form team in Scotland, scoring goals, playing really well, getting results. And we blew them away. We then go to Rugby Park. All the things that CJ said are true about that as well. And we win. And we've got Benfica coming up. This was the wee game just sort of tucked away there in the middle of that. Was there a chance that maybe we just took our eye off the ball a wee bit, that we were a bit too relaxed going into this, or maybe slightly one eye on Thursday night? Because I know there's a lot of fans will be saying, well, I don't care about Europe. Well, the players do. It's Benfica. It's the Stadium of Light. It's a huge, huge match. And they had these two huge wins. We started really badly, and I do wonder if, and never really got fully going, I do wonder if there was an element of just had overlooked this game a wee bit.
Possibly, David, but I think it's, I honestly believe that it's an accumulation of a whole number of factors that kind of happened on Saturday. When you think about, yeah, did they, were they as intense as they were against Hearts at the start, or even Kilmarnock at the start? And people might say that's a bit strange because we were behind after 10 minutes. Silva and Goldson still had really good chances in that Kilmarnock first 5 minutes, and we started okay. We didn't do any of that on Saturday, so there was a lack of intensity. I think finally, David, we looked a wee bit leggy. I think that's quite clear from having watched the game back as well. I thought we looked quite passive at times, just basically not what Clermont has been. Or not what been like under Clermont. Does that come down to the attitude towards it? I don't think so, to be honest, because the attitude against Ross County, for example, was kind of spot on and created so many chances. I just honestly think we looked absolutely burst, and a couple of things happened to contrive to it that we haven't been doing or we've managed to get away with. We missed far too many chances. Now, that's kind of been the story of the last, I don't know, 10 weeks maybe since Christmas, but we've got away with it because we've still managed to turn in a few. On Saturday, it finally caught up with us. And the other reason, I think, is basically injuries. Injuries finally are playing their part, where we've managed to get away for it for so long. But on Saturday, I mean, I said to the manager, and the manager was reluctant to use it as an excuse, and, you know, given all the chances we created and things like that. But I don't think the chance creation really tells a true story of the game in terms of a lot of them came in the last 10 minutes. And I just think that the lack of options, David, to rotate and create a spark and things like that. I don't agree with the suggestion that they bottled it or anything like that. I don't think that's a fair thing to throw at them, given the last, as I said, 10 weeks of basic reaction since Parkhead. I just think it was a combination of everything that maybe we've been getting a wee bit of luck with the chances. Yes, we missed a lot, but we've still been taking some. We didn't have that lack of options from the bench, and we did just look burst. And I think all combined, along with an absolutely dreadful refereeing performance, which again, not an excuse, but it did add into everything else that went on Saturday. And it's just, unfortunately, David, like we spoke about it on the way home, and CJ, we spoke about it on the chat and stuff together, that these games happen in title races. It happens all the time, and it just, when you least expect it, you're brought crashing back down to earth. And I feel like that's what Saturday was.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It was, if you like, a kind of perfect storm of things not going our way and not, you know, doing enough. And I do think the leggy thing is a fair point. The team, maybe, you know, just that coming down from the two massive games had maybe just didn't have that zip, that energy about them that we needed. Let's look at the game in a wee bit more detail. First of all, CJ, terrible goal to concede.
Awful.
Yeah. Awful goal. First, you know, John Suter goes out to try and win the ball. We're sleeping a wee bit, I think, at the Motherwell as they get the ball. Sleeping a wee bit. Suter comes out, tries to win it, doesn't. Then we're left 2-on-1. And, of course, they tuck it away well. And, you know, I thought the crowd, they didn't overreact. You know, we were all quite, still 80 minutes to go. But when you concede an early goal, we did get away with it on Wednesday night. It's a bad habit to get into. And it's a habit that we were in, that we've gotten out of. And I think we'd all be very keen to make sure it doesn't go. You need to start games with a bit of tempo, because otherwise teams come into Ibrox, you let them settle in and build up a bit of confidence, and that's what happened at the weekend.
Absolutely, and I think that's exactly what happened. As soon as, even the start, even before they put the goal in, I just thought we couldn't really get the fit on the ball. I think they were swamping Lunny quite a lot. They were really going after Tavernier, and I think we were so used to building up from that way, you know what I mean, Tav to Lunny and Lunny to that workout. They just chopped it off and we just couldn't settle. And I thought the longer that went on, even before they put the ball in the back of it, they just looked like they had confidence. And that's no sign that we gave Hearts, who came in, they were just blown away within 2 minutes of that game. We were in their throat, we were really after them, we never let them settle. We let a Millerwell team settle, and you can say what you want about them, but they're physical. They've got a couple of good players. The wee man in the middle of the park, Lennon's a really good player. They've got players in there that can hurt you, and I just felt like it was really, really silly and frustrating the way it goes. But as we've already talked about, lads, it isn't a perfect the games, you know what I mean? There's always going to be downs, and we just unfortunately had a team that, if we give credit to, actually started the game off brilliantly and brave. Because I think all three of us, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners, would have thought Millerwood would have came in there, sit two banks of five, and just hang on for dear life for 20 minutes. That's not what they've done at all. They were piling people forward, they were overlapping on the fullbacks, and again, Nakota's slating me a good finish, but Big Suter, unfortunately, is just, I think it's just on that left-hand side. I know I've talked about it a lot. It just seems to be a wee bit off balance. Had a similar one at Rugby Park, and it just, one mistake and we get punished, and we're the most unluckiest team in the world, because whenever we make a mistake, we always get punished, but we require about five mistakes for us to punish other people, and that's sort of the story as it goes.
Yeah, and that is a factor, Stevie. You mentioned it there yourself. We need a lot of chances to score a goal. Now, I do have a little bit of sympathy, because somebody pointed out to me that, you know, everything being well, the front three would probably be Sima, Danilo and Cortez. And, you know, we are lacking those players. But even so, this is why you need to be, you know, Dessers were praised, and he deserves praise for turning in after his start. But I think that there is still that suspicion that he's a bit too wasteful at times.
Yeah, and he's not the only one. I think there's a suspicion that Fabio Silva really needs 3-4 chances before he'll tuck one away as well, because they aren't prolific. Danilo was hardly prolific, David, either, when, with regards to, I remember at Dundee, he needed 3-4 before he took one. It's kind of been the story of our season. And there was a couple in the first half where, yeah, we were unlucky, but it kind of summed up where we were in the day that, the one where Diamandé kind of flicks it to goal by his heel, he kicks it so flush it goes straight at Liam Kelly. If he'd even fluffed it slightly, which isn't his fault, it's not a criticism I'm trying to say about the lack of luck that we've maybe carried at other times. The one where Silva goes and holds it up in the air and Silva runs onto it and he side foots it tamely at Kelly. These are the big misses, the big moments, and I would have backed us if we had got one before half-time coming out in the second half. I thought we would have been fine. But CJ's right, to give Motherwell credit, you know, they came, I think it was Boy Vine, had Suter all over the place. He was completely rocked by him. And the other thing we spoke about is that, and we spoke about it, David, you made the point, that, and it happens that Goldson will have a game like this in him where he comes up against a big guy and he's completely spooked. He'd done it before with Joel Newbley. And stuff like that. And he has games like this. And Bayer just had him and he just didn't like it. He didn't perform well. And on Suter, and I said this to you on Saturday, David, that I feel like Suter's a really good siege defender in terms of having to make late latch ticks, blocks, or having to make, you know, put his body in the line is very good. But decisionally and going to make cutouts and positionally, I thought, or I think, that he's really made a lot of mistakes, which is really difficult. And I was amazed to find, you know, I know that Goldson didn't have a good game, but people panning Goldson and conveniently leaving out Suter's role in all this. Now, I'm a huge John Suter fan. I really am. He's Scottish. He's, you know, he's perfect fit for us, I think. But let's not pretend that he's playing well, because he's not. He's not performing well enough. He's made mistakes after mistakes, which are costing us goals. And I think that when you compare him to Balogun, at the moment, Balogun's a better option in there. Now, I know Balogun's got issues and things like that, but we were all surprised he didn't come in on Saturday. And I think Balogun against Bayer, just as Balogun against Newbley and stuff like that, has been a better option for us. I think Balogun would have been a better option on Saturday. But regardless of that, I know that Suter made the mistake for the first goal, David, but there was also other mistakes. Having watched this and can analyse the goals, the midfield is really badly positioned, and it kind of brings us maybe on to, I don't know if we're going to discuss this or not, but Nico Raskin. Nico Raskin on Saturday was a left-sided midfielder with Lunny on the other side, and on the first goal, he's far too central, which means that a ball on the touchline at the halfway line is more or less an easy through ball down the line, because we're so shuffled over to the other side that that ball's on. There's a massive gap, and the boy, I think O'Donnell, plays it, and he obviously can do it because it's a straight gap. And instead of having Raskin in front of him, even if Raskin's there and he doesn't concede or he doesn't intercept it, when that touch goes from Vine, Suter doesn't need to charge out, and he can show him down the line perhaps. And even if he does skip by Suter, Raskin's following in to cover that space that he cuts it back into as well. So there's a whole catalogue of errors in the first goal. And not only is Suter at fault, but so are we positionally. We're all over the place and we're sleeping for a free kick that's not dangerous from where it is. So I was really disappointed by the standard of goals that we gave away on Saturday. The second one's a catalogue of errors as well, from an easy clearance. We lose the ball, everybody runs out and leaves their men and stuff like that. Then we miss the header. Does Butland come? So it's not, for me, it's not just as simple as John Suter, Connor Goldson, centre-back, preparing. They had a bad day at the office, absolutely. But I think that it goes back to the original point, David, that I just thought that we were leggy and lethargic all over the place, and simple things like Raskin getting that easy thing right, and he doesn't do it. And even when we equalised, I thought we were leggy and looking. Without sounding huffy or that, that's how I feel about it. I just feel that we were off. We were just off the whole game and not quite right.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I thought Raskin was a non-event in the middle of the park. Just didn't contribute at all. And I do get the argument, and someone put it to me saying, well, guys are coming in and they've played a lot. They need to get time to get back up to standard. The problem we have is we don't have time. And people, when they're coming in, need to grab their opportunity, because otherwise we can't risk it. We can't afford to keep playing them in the hope that they'll rediscover their form. Goldson got ragdolled by the big lad, Theo Bear. He really did. And yeah, it was as poor as I've seen him in a long time. John Suter did look awkward. I do think sometimes, CJ, that footballs are human. And in much the way it was, the contrast with the Hearts game is enormous, that we're all on this today. All of us, we're all on form, you know, we're feeling good, the sunshine, and this is good. You can get the opposite, and unfortunately we did just 7 days later, which is they looked at each other and went, oh, we are all having a stinker. We are all off this today. And I think that to Stevie's point about when we got the penalty and the crowd was roaring, and I expected the team to, you know, to go for it, and they didn't. And maybe it just was they put their foot in the pedal and there was no gas there, but it didn't really happen. Motherwell were able to, there was no real storm for them to control. They got the goal, and when the goal went in, I think there wasn't a kind of realisation of, oh, and you know, we did push. You can't say that they didn't. We had loads of chances towards the end. We were pushing and pushing and pushing, and another day one of them drops for you. But I go back to the thing at the start, it was just that type of day. Nobody played well. Everybody was that bit off it. Ridvan, I thought, was okay, to be fair. Everybody else was that wee bit off it. Everybody else was just, they were making the wrong decisions, or they were delaying a shot by a split second, picking the wrong pass, not making the right run with their man. All of that. Just one of those days where the moving parts aren't quite connecting the way they're supposed to. And that's okay if it happens once. It's disappointing, but you can live with it. The key thing is to make sure going forward that we sit down and say, right, lads, that can't happen again.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's exactly it. And I think Clement's been kind of warning us over our fantastic runs and that, saying there will be bumps. I think he's saying one of his latest pressers, he didn't expect a bump like this to happen 5 months after taking over. He thought it'd be very early in the rain, but everything has been so perfect. Everything's been mostly good in all that aspect. But again, we've now had a bump. The players have realised that they really need to take it in. And I think going back to some of the points you talked about, even like the Raskin and bringing folk in and everything, and people arguing, well, you need to give people time. It's basically cup finals is what we've got left. Do you know what I mean? If you look at it, you didn't really see a lot of managers bringing in during a cup final just to give people minutes. And I think that's where the frustration sort of comes. We understand we need to give people A, B and C minutes, but it's just hard to find the time right now because it is so tight at the top, because there is so much to win and there is so much at stake. And I thought Raskin did seem a mile off it. In fact, he was that off it in my match recap. I forgot to mention he was subbed off or he was even playing. That's not like a joke in him. I just forgot because he was just sort of a non-entity in the middle of the park. And that's a guy that's got a lot of ability and a lot of talent. But as we say, folk can have an off day. You can get a couple of players maybe under the pan and that's when you use your sub. But it's probably just really cruel that we had about 15 players on the day all off at the exact same time. When does that ever happen? Do you know what I mean? It wasn't one or two. You kind of look at maybe Tav being underperforming or Lunny or any. It's everybody in. Even that name we mentioned a couple of times, Butland for the second goal. Son, he's been fantastic. Out is coming out and claiming those crosses. That's what we've been praising. And he was just a wee bit hesitant. Even for the first couple, I don't know if you remember the start of the game, but Golton and Suter kind of shielding Butland not coming off his line. There was a couple of wee moments early in the game. It's just, even when a player that's been as perfect as Butland has a slightly off day, probably tells you it's not your day. And that's just unfortunate. It was really, really cruel that 15 players had it at the same time. But looking at the overall team as well, as we said, we started playing well towards the end. It was around about the 87th minute, and I think we played great for 10 minutes, but you can't just turn up in the 87th minute and expect 3 points, yeah. Unfortunately. That's kind of the harsh truth, and going to injuries and everything. I don't think many of us were expecting us to have, on paper, a backup right back at right wing, and a 20-year-old academy player who's done brilliant stepping up. But people forget he wasn't even the first choice coming up from the academy. It was Zach Lovelace. Mm. Rob McCausland was the backup to Lovelace, who was the heir apparent, the guy who was given an opportunity. So I feel like people's been far too harsh on wee Ross. It wasn't exactly his time, if you will. He's had to jump into that step and put these shoes on because of an injury in front of him. So he is going to have peaks and valleys, but that's kind of where we are as a team right now. You look at it, there's injuries everywhere. Half of our talented, the creative players have been kicked off the park for some fouls that's not even deemed as fouls on the park. It's been a wee bit of a mess. So I think we can look at the game versus Motherwell, chop it up. Thankfully, it never came back to bite us in terms of the result that happened the next game day. We've took a bump there, learn a lesson, and remember there's 9 cup finals left in terms of the league.
No, I totally agree with that. I think all of that is very sensible. Stevie, going to have to talk about the referee. And at the time, I thought, oof, that's a red card. Genuinely couldn't believe that it didn't get referred by VAR. Referee who was appalling, Alan Muir, doesn't even give a foul, doesn't even speak to the boy, although it's quite clear. When the crowd goes, ooh, then it's generally a bad tackle, right? When the crowd do that inhalation of breath, then it's a bad tackle. The fact that the player is injured. Since then, Bobby Madden, Dermot Gallagher and Sky, they have come out and said, nah, it's a red card. It's got nothing to do with the fact this thing that people cling to, and you hear it, you heard with the red card at Tynecastle, oh, well, there's no intent there. That doesn't fucking matter. How many times has this got to be said? It's not about if you deliberately kick, because otherwise no fouls would ever be given. You're trying to win the ball, aren't you? And it's like, well, I meant to kick the ball, not him. That's not how it works. And it's the same with this. It's like, well, he didn't get too much on him. Well, he certainly got fucking enough, because Ross McCausland had to be taken off.
It's an interesting one. Refereeing, and I'll give you a very early indication. There was a couple of things, CJ, that you said that I wanted to come back to, but we'll do that after the refereeing thing. Do you remember very early in the game, Dessers got injured as such, or he needed treatment, and then he said, no, I'm fine. But by that time, the physios had ran on, and the ref then made him go off the park. And he ended up, for a minute, standing, shouting and lecturing the physio, because the physios obviously said he doesn't need to go off, he didn't have treatment, and he didn't need to go off. That was the whole point. That signaled the kind of game Alan Muir was about to have. And there were several moments that kind of bewildered me, not only at the time, but watching it back. But there were some really big moments, like the one where Tom Lawrence is running through and he's barged out the way is a pretty criminal decision not to get right. He's literally 5 yards away from it. The basic one of the penalty's clear. Why it took 4 minutes in VAR and why he didn't give it at the time is worrying for me, because there's been a lot of penalty kicks that we've not had lately that have went to VAR and they're pretty clear cut. The two at St Johnstone were kind of ridiculous. Kilmarnock was a bit of a farce with the VAR Mayo at the end. And they haven't been costing us. But the simple fact of the matter is the challenge on Ross McCausland, David, and CJ, if you watch it again, the boy Casey, is that his name? Is it Carey or Casey? Carey, maybe I don't
Casey.
Know. Casey. Casey, right. The boy actually gets to the ball miles before Ross McCausland. He doesn't need to go to ground. He doesn't need to go in hard. He can play the ball because he's there 1-2 seconds before McCausland. He chooses to go to ground and he chooses to follow through and take the man. Now, the stills always make it look worse, but the stills are where VAR should be saying and should be rewatching that and saying, right, that's excessive force, the speed of that challenge, the force of the challenge endangering an opponent. It's not a difficult decision. The fact that he then pops up and scores a winner adds insult to injury for us, but Ross has taken a pretty hefty whack to his shin. Easily could have been a leg breaker. And when you look at the stills, it's the whole foot, it's the base of the foot, the studs that is hitting him. I think it's an appalling challenge, but it just kind of sums Muir up. At one point in the second half, Spittle went off for treatment and he actually waved him on as Rangers were going down the right-hand side. And Goldsmith has to Tav, and Tav had to switch it back out. And everybody was going, what the hell's going on, kind of thing. And I think it just shows the kind of incompetency that Muir had. Anytime there was a touch and Motherwell went down, there was one on the big boy McGabby, Beavis McGabby, at the start. He went down, there was nobody touching him. And it just, he was overly fussy at times when he didn't need to be and not in control of others. The penalty decision, he gets wrong and is bailed out by VAR. The red card decision, he gets completely wrong. If he had stopped it and given a foul and given a yellow, VAR would have told him to go and look at that and give a red. The exact same as what happened to Cifuentes, which turns out wrongly, even though we lost the appeal, they later came out and said that decision was wrong. I'm pretty sure that they'll be coming out in the review in a few months' time or whatever and saying that that decision is wrong as well. But Rangers, this is where it's funny, because there's been a lot of chat about referees, David, this weekend. A lot of it. And we know why. The truth is that Rangers are the ones over the weekend that were wronged. The guy that scored the winning goal should have been off the park. We need to be proactively, I think, asking questions again of what's been going on in the last 3-4 weeks, because this isn't an isolated incident. I wrote something on Twitter and basically just in the last 4 or 5 weeks, the two penalties at St Johnstone, blatant shout about Kilmarnock, the penalty given against Lundstrom. We had a really good shout for a penalty on Silva against Ross County. We had one against Ayr for Cortez. These are 5 or 6 big decisions in the last 3-4 weeks. Then you throw in Saturday, not getting that penalty and having VAR to intervene, but not getting the red card. That's two huge moments, and we're not getting these. We've been winning, which means that we haven't really been overly paying attention. But we really need to raise this, I think, and need to ask questions. Because Saturday, out of everybody that was wronged at the weekend, we've had a guy score a winner that should have been off the park. And we need to be making noises about that.
Is that the SFA at your door, mate?
They've sent Alan Muir round, but luckily he's went to the wrong house. you know, he got the address wrong. No, I totally agree that... If you also look at the non-penalty against Kilmarnock, the fact that the penalties against St Johnstone, one in particular having to go to VAR when the referee just quite clearly shit himself and was desperate that someone other than him would give the decision, the ones at the weekend, they're piling up. Now, if you want to approach it from the referees are refereeing us differently, which in my belief, that's one thing, but even if you don't, and I'm sure there are plenty of people who would say, oh, no, they're talking about conspiracy. You know, David, you're at it. Fair enough then, right? Let's approach it from competency. Are they good enough? No, they're not. They get a lot wrong. And to be honest, in terms of the it's only my team that get it, I know that's bullshit because through the last week, I watched an incredible decision in the Edinburgh Derby for a penalty to Hearts, which the referee was instructed by VAR to go and have a look at and still gives. Then Ross County versus St Mirren, terrible decisions. Collectively, yeah. Oh my God. Collectively, then we can debate the, oh, my team get it worse than your team or your team get it worse than my team. That football fans, and I am one of them, and I accept that this is my view, have their own, you know, tinted spectacles on when they're looking at things. Totally accept that. Totally agree with that. But when there are quite clear wrong decisions happening, it feels like every single match, at some point, surely the SFA have got to sit down and say, look, refs have a tough job, but we accept it could be better. That's all they need to do. But instead we get this, you know, la, 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 no, everything's fine. And if you say anything else, you're just, you know, you're just at it. It's not helpful.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm
not used to Stevie jumping there where referee ran, mate, but I'll jump in happily. Like, I even think, going back to the commando, I still kind of get over the fact that the one was given against Lundstrom because his arm's behind his back. And it's turned late. Yes, a couple seconds later, his arm's then out, but the ball's already hit him in the back. I don't understand, because my interpretation of the rule that gets changed every 3 days, by the way, unless you're paying attention, is as long as it's not outside your body, like, if it doesn't hit Lundstrom's hand there, it's still hitting his back, so it's no blocking a shot, it's no, do you know what I mean? And then the one with Mayo, his hand's out, but that wasn't given as a penalty. The one versus Lundstrom was a penalty. The red card debates here, there, and everywhere. I genuinely feel like they've been criticised so much that there's just something in them now. They're just going, nah. It's almost like siege mentality for the referees. Are like, they're just protecting each other. And it's every game. Like you said, that Ross County one, the boys literally jumped up there and punched that like a goalkeeper. And somehow VAR didn't even look at it, David. So I think if we can take our vacuum away, if you just focus in on us results, the referees in this country are just shambolic. And it's every game. It's every team and it's every big decision. It's no VAR. The problem's no with VAR. It's the people that's using it. But all the money is getting pumped into VAR. There's no money getting pumped into improving the actual people in charge of it. So these mistakes are just constantly going to go round and round and round again. And like you said, that drastically impacted this game. I know there's a fan base greeting about the correct results that was actually done in yesterday's game and ignoring their ridiculous penalty that they go. I understand all that, and they want to go with that. But the guy that shouldn't have been on the park scored a winner versus us. A guy that referee after referee has came out and said should have been off the park, wasn't he? But we didn't get any feedback. We didn't get any conversation. We don't know why they saw it that way. And it's fine, though, because they'll just move on in the next game. And the next game, then there'll be another incident. And then we'll forget about this one and this one. And it's just, it's very, very worrying for Scottish football, if I'm honest with you, because they're directly, their fingerprints are all over the game now, David. Do you know what I mean? It's not just as a referee.
They're affecting games, that's true.
Massively. Like, that, the guy that shouldn't have been on the park just scored the winner. He's only on the park because the referee swallowed his whistle and VAR's no day in their job. That's just facts. It's no bitterness or anything, you know what I mean? So it's frustrating because we want to talk about football. Everyone's there for goals. Everyone's there for the emotion. Jump about your old man and that of the game. But what we're doing now is something to sit, wait 4 or 5 minutes here, 6 minutes here, watch a referee be too scared to give a penalty in terms of St Johnson. Look to his linesman. The linesman shrug, waiting for VAR to tell them what to do. And it's really worrying where football's gone. And I think Scotland, like they are in a lot of aspects of money and viewership and sponsorship, is miles, miles behind, because there's nobody, honestly, in the top flight that I would consider even an average referee these days, truly.
Well, there'll be no Scottish referees at the Euros, and that
no,
that should no, be a wake-up call.
Yeah, absolutely. And I noticed a thing in the Turkish League. Sorry, this is a wee bit of a thingy, but for Galatasaray and Fenerbahce coming up and everything, they go and get a referee for a different country and that, because they need to make sure the game, that's their big game, you know what I mean? They need to make sure it actually goes in. And I just feel like, could we not go to maybe the third division England, start bringing in other people, referees, that, because the current crop of referees in this country is nowhere near it. They're no bad. They are so far worse than that. It's actually crazy.
No, I don't disagree. Stevie, we do have to pick, from a football point of view, we do have to pick ourselves up, go again, and go again this time to Benfica over in Lisbon. Now, you know, huge club, huge name, great European name. If it's a tie that I think you look Benfica Rangers, that gets the blood pumping. No, get their own troubles to seek, dubbed 5-0 by Porto at the weekend. So enjoy. It's going to be an interesting game, maybe in a way a game that slightly suits Rangers more. And by that, I'm not being stupid, because obviously the level of Motherwell to Benfica is quite a leap. And, you know, clearly common sense dictates, well, if you couldn't beat them, you couldn't do much against. But it doesn't work like that. Thankfully, football's one of the things that we're all in love with it about. But we won't be expected to dominate possession. We will need to work hard, but it is a case of players will be given tasks and know what they have to do. And it has suited us in Europe in the past when we've been able to do that.
Yeah, it has. But David, see, before I get to Benfica, CJ said something earlier, and I don't mean to go back to the Motherwell game, but I think this is an interesting thing, and it's something I noticed, and I wonder if it's worth just a minute or two of both your opinion. Motherwell done something that teams don't usually do at Ibrox, and it spooked us immediately. And something that CJ said reminded me of what I thought at the time. Motherwell took kickoff, and Rangers weren't able to have first couple of minutes getting themselves into a rhythm, getting the ball, getting down with it, because Motherwell took it and they went straight at us. And that thing that CJ said about the long ball over, where I think it's Goldson ends up hooking it out to the Govan side for a throw-in and Butland doesn't come, that set the tempo, because we weren't settled. And we didn't ever get settled. And I wonder if, I know it's a small, maybe insignificant point, but I think that spooked us really early on Saturday.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah, I just think that right for the start, the players weren't quite on it. We're a goal down before, as you say, they settled. CJ was right. The first 5 minutes, we didn't have much possession. Motherwell had possession. And we just never got out of that. We were never quite able to pull ourselves out of that. And that's what it took us to. So it will be a different game on Thursday night, though.
Yeah, getting so to the original question. Sorry about that. I just found it interesting, David, that really kind of spoke to me, that because we were out of our rhythm, that's what we need to get into quite quickly on Thursday. We need to get a feel for the ball if we can and settle down quite quickly. They're a very good side. They've got three or four outstanding players, but they've also got three or four outstanding players that don't track or work back. So we can hurt them, as stupid as that sounds. We've done well in Europe, and I think that I've got to be honest, if we're still in the tie, going back to Ibrox, I'll be absolutely delighted, because I think that Benfica are probably one of the strongest ones left. But it's a really exciting tie for me, because we've got nothing to lose in many ways, and it'll give us an indication of, you know, where are we under Clement and things like that, because we have done a lot better Saturday aside. At the moment, David, I'm pretty worried about who's actually going to be available to play, more than like how we're going to set up and what we're going to do. Because I know that over the weekend, you know, when people say, you know, as soon as there's a bad result, I don't know if you get this, CJ, as well, but we always get tagged, David, this would be my team, you know, everybody fit. And that's great. That's great. But nobody's fit anytime soon. You know, Cantwell, Matondo, we're still looking at 2 or 3 weeks. Sima, if we're really lucky, might be the end of month. Cortez, Danilo, I'm not sure we'll see them again. You know, everybody's saying Danilo's back in training. Danilo's back doing a wee bit of weight stuff. He's not back out in the pitch. There's a huge difference. Yeah, he's 2 months away, easily. So, would we see him again? Dowell is missing in action. You know, where's McCausland going to be at after that thump? So, we've got real issues. Like, who's going to play wide? Could it be a Barisic Yilmaz left-hand side? Could it be a Sterling Tav right-hand side?
Could it be a 3-5-2?
Yeah, who then plays in the middle? Dessers is going to have to be up front. But, you know, it's all... I'm pretty worried about that side of it. And then Balogun's not in the European squad, so it needs to be Suter and Goldson again. Suter needs to get that out of his head. It's just... there's a lot of questions
Well, I'm bringing my bits just in case they need me for 15. I've got 15 in the legs, eh? I'm bringing my bits just in case.
Take your, I take the change of kit in the suitcase if here he is, because we might be needing it. But at this rate, Alex Ray will be on the bench, to be honest. But I just, that's the interesting thing for me. I know how good they are, right? And if we're honest, I think that, well, if I'm honest, I'm not expecting too much, but I would love to still be in the tie. And it's more about, in a game like this, if we get beat 2-3-0, whatever, I want to see how we perform. And that's why, obviously, that piques my interest. I'm a Ranger fan. Obvious stuff said there, Stevie. I get it. But I want to see how we react to a challenge like this.
All true and all interesting. Right then, folks, that will do us for this month. We'll be back next month. Still plenty to play for. It should be remembered we've got one in the bank and still going for three. And still in a very good position. CJ and Stevie, I'll just, before we finish up, I'll just ask you this. For all the ups and downs, highs and lows that football has brought, if you had said to us, I was going to say at Christmas, but I'll just say, right, as we started back after the winter break, right, lads, on the 4th of March, you'll be 2 points clear. What would your feelings have been on that?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Disbelief. Nah, it'd be... I'd have put that off your hand. Yeah, like if you're looking at it, nine games to go, we're clear, we've already bagged the trophy, we've got a good European draw that's probably going to suit a couple of our players because, again, they'll be piling forward. It's set, the tone's been set for previous years. We've got a good cup draw, again, at Easter Road, but we've got a good record there, and I'd be absolutely buzzing with that, truly, and that's how I feel, you know what I mean? Like, you can be disappointed with what happened at Motherwell, but still be really exciting. That's what I expressed in my video. It was a crap result, but it's not been a crap season so far, and there's still so much to play for, and hopefully I look more smiling thumbnails.
Stevie?
Yeah, I mean, David, we've spoke about it quite a lot. I think CJ kind of sums it up. If you had given me that opportunity, I would have absolutely grabbed it. So, you know, there's no... It's worth saying, David, that our journey home on Saturday was... It wasn't one of despondency, it wasn't one of disbelief, it was one of disappointment, and I think it was sore. We were both a bit miffed, but at the same time, we were both quite relaxed and we said, look, we'll maybe be a point behind. It's still in our own hands. We've still got them to come to us in a couple of weeks. We're through what is a really tough period of fixtures. We can look forward to Europe and the Cup, etc., like CJ said. But the pair of us weren't throwing the toys out the pram. We were like, look, team have done really well. We just hit a wee wall today. It's how we respond to it. And to be fair to them, after Parkhead, when they were written off, they won 11 games in a row. So that's the kind of response. Although, if they go and beat Benfica and Hibs home and away and things like that, I'll be absolutely delighted. But we need to come through the next few weeks with a response. If they don't get past Benfica, I can handle it as long as they don't get an absolute drubbing, which I think could be really difficult to respond to or recover from. So all I'm looking for in the next few weeks is just the same. Take it game at a time, see where it takes us. And I'm delighted with them. I really am. I'm delighted with the players, the management, the support and where we are. And as CJ said, I'm kind of shocked we're in this position. Remember, we were 11 points clear at the start of December. So with two games in hand, having to go and win these games. And we've came through what's a really difficult, tricky period. And yeah, I think there's plenty to look forward to. It's going to be a roller coaster. We've seen this, David. It's going to be a roller coaster. But I'm delighted with where we are. And I'm sure you are as well, David.
Oh, very much so, although I will have to say that in terms of Stevie and I were quite calm. I came in a real huff, was too annoyed to watch Match of the Day, had my dinner, watched the telly sourly for a bit and went to bed early. So, and you tanned your entire Football Manager budget of 150 million on three players.
No, it wasn't. Amazing. I never do this, David. I always buy like the young wonder kids and then sell them big and always have like loads of money sitting in, and I come in a total stinker. And I had 350 million in
retail therapy.
Three
Retail therapy.
I'm going to go and tan this, right? Give me, I want all the stars. You were like Man United going, give me him, I've heard the him.
Aye, that'll do.
That'll do, that's the one I want. But
the Chelsea method.
That's exactly it, yes. He was Todd Bowley on Saturday.
One bad
night.
Result, there's 300 million for him.
I'll have him and him and him and that.
And
is your car park for sale? I want that, I know. quite right to that. Listen, lads, where can the listeners catch up with all the great stuff produced on your website? Start off with you, CJ.
If you want to watch some YouTube videos and follow the journey, I'll be at CJNovo992. It's been going pretty well, so hopefully it continues to. That's all I've got to say. If you want to watch some YouTube videos, that's where I'm at.
And you should. They're very good, folks. And Stevie?
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, Four Lads Had a Dream, obviously, on all of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and stuff. But we've also just started our own wee podcast. It's a bite-sized podcast, a bit different. You get a 10-20 minute pod after match reaction, and a weekly kind of thing, some interviews and things as well, David, as we do for the site. But the reaction's been great, so if you check that out, I would really love it. And I would say about not only CJ's channel but Heart and Hand, I think that we're blessed with some real high quality kind of fan media stuff available, and I would certainly follow the boys. Stuff CJ does on YouTube, stuff you do, David, obviously on Patreon, which is great to be able to guest on. So, yeah, I'm blowing our trumpets a wee bit, and our podcast, which is all conquering Rangers-wise, has hit the buffer slightly on Saturday, but when we beat Benfica home and away, it will be the magic of this podcast.
Bang on, mate.
And boys, listen, yous are both going out there, so enjoy the trip. But you boys go out there and smash.
It was this podcast that made sure that we didn't go behind, though, right? The fact we were doing this today, yeah, we lost Saturday, but then because we were doing this today, went right. Oh well, they better lose as well. So
we had to lose one game so people didn't start paying attention to us too much and be like, what are they actually? You know, you've got to balance the scales. It's an intentional throwaway.
In case we got taken out, yeah, no, absolutely, that's good thinking. That was it. Just we throw them off the scent. Right then, folks, thank you very much for listening to us. We'll be back next month on this show. I'll be back, of course, on Heart and Hand next week. And until then, if you're going to Lisbon, enjoy it. If not, and you're watching on TV, then I sincerely hope you get a very entertaining Thursday night with the Gels turning it on. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Hi everyone, it's David here, and just to let you know about our live show in London. If you're down south or fancy a wee trip to the Big Smoke, then come and see us as we host our live show at the Leicester Square Theatre on the 21st of March. And you might not be too keen to see us, but I'm sure you'll be keen to see our special guest, Paul Gascoigne. Yes, come and hear Gazza relive some of his amazing moments at his time at the Gels. So if you want tickets, go to the Leicester Square Theatre website. Just Google Leicester Square Theatre at Gazza, and up it will pop. So Thursday, 21st of March, it's an international break. There's nothing else happening. We hope to see you there. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.